Welcome to Zikra Daf Siman. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldhar, and today we're Zecher Shabbos, Daf Samach Vav. So the three points we're going to focus on. Number one, the Mishnah stated regarding a wooden shoe worn by amputees, Im yeshu beis kibul kasisin tame, if it has a receptacle for rags for him to put his leg on top of, then it can be a makabel tuma. There's a machokas amarayim, if it's makabel tumas midras, a tuma acquired by an object used with the intention to support one's weight, whether through sitting, lying, standing, or leaning. Tumah is only transmitted this way from someone who became Tameh as a result of a bodily emission, such as a zav, or a nida. Abaye holds that it's not makabel tumas midras, since its primary purpose is to disguise the fact that the person is missing a foot, not to support his weight. He brings a proof from a braisa that states that a walking stick is not makabel tumah, even though it's sometimes used to support one's weight. Rava holds that the wooden shoe is makabel tumas midras, even though its primary purpose is not to support one's weight. He brings a proof from a child's wagon that can be makabel tumas midras, even though it's only used occasionally to bear the child's weight. Point number two, the Mishnah on Amud Bey states, Habanim yotzim b'ksharim, young boys may go out on Shabbos with knots. The Gemara explains that these knots are the ones that Avin Bar Huna spoke about in the name of Rav Chama Bar Guria. He said that to comfort a son who yearns after his father who's parting from him, the father should take a strap from his own right shoe and tie it around the boy's left arm. The Gemara adds that it would be dangerous and potentially plunge the son into melancholy if the father were to do the opposite and take the strap from his left shoe and tie it around his son's right arm. And point number three, Abai shares a few rules his adopted mother taught him about incantations. All incantations are recited with the name of the person's mother. Any incantations that are clearly stated to be repeated a set number of times should be repeated according to that number. And point number three, any incantation that's not stated about how many times it should be repeated should be repeated 41 times. So once again, the three points are, number one, the Mishnah stated regarding a wooden shoe worn by amputees, Im yeshu beis kibul kasisin tame, if it has a receptacle for rags for him to put his leg on top of, then it can be makabel tumah. There's malchukas amarayim, if it's makabel tumas midras, a tumah acquired by an object used with the intention to support one's weight, whether through sitting, lying, standing, or leaning. Tumah is only transmitted this way from someone who became tame as a result of a bodily emission, such as a zav, or a nida. Abai holds that it is not makabel tumas midras, since its primary purpose is to disguise the fact that the person is missing a foot, not to support his weight. He brings a proof from a braisa that states that a walking stick is not makabel tumah, even though it's sometimes used to support one's weight. Rava holds that the wooden shoe is makabel tumas midras, even though its primary purpose is not to support one's weight. He brings a proof from a child's wagon that can be makabel tumas midras, even though it's only used occasionally to bear the child's weight. Point number two, the Mishnah on the Amud Bey states, Abanim yotzim b'ksharim, young boys may go out on Shabbos with knots. The Gemara explains that these knots are the ones that Avin Bar Huna spoke about in the name of Rav Chama Bar Guria. He said that to comfort a son who yearns after his father, who's parting from him, the father should take a strap from his own right shoe and tie it around the boy's left arm. The Gemara adds that it would be dangerous and potentially plunge the son into melancholy if the father were to do the opposite and take the strap from his left shoe and tie it around his son's right arm. And point number three, Abai shares a few rules his adopted mother taught him about incantations. All incantations that are recited with the name of the person's mother. Any incantations that are clearly stated to be repeated a set number of times should be repeated according to that number. And point number three, any incantation that is not stated about how many times it should be repeated 41 times. All right, so now we go to our siman. So in this case, there were two suggestions that came up by far the most, suggested by many people. So unfortunately, I'm not going to identify you by name. There was either the lawyer suing someone or a businessman suing someone, or there was the tailor at the sewing machine sewing, seamstress sewing. So I'm going to go with the tailor at the sewing machine, a little bit more concrete than a lawsuit. So here goes. The amputee tailor with the wooden shoe full of rags tied his one shoe strap on his son's left arm and told him to recite incantations in his mother's name while he was away. Once again, in slow motion. The amputee tailor. Tailor, that means we're on Daf Samach Vav. The amputee tailor with a wooden shoe full of rags, which reminds us, the Mishnah stated regarding a wooden shoe worn by amputees, Im yesh lo beis kibul kasisin tameh, if he has a receptacle for rags for him to put his leg on top of, then it can be makabel tumah. There's a machlokes amarayim, if it's makabel tumas midras, a tumah acquired by an object used with the intention to support one's weight, whether through sitting, lying, standing, or leaning. Tumah is only transmitted this way from someone who became tameh as a result of a bodily emission such as zava, or nida. So Abai holds that it is not makabel tumas midras, since its primary purpose is to disguise the fact that the person is missing a foot, not to support his weight. He brings a proof from a braisa that states that a walking stick is not makabel tumah, even though it's sometimes used to support one's weight. Rava holds that the wooden shoe is makabel tumas mitzvahs, even though its primary purpose is not to support one's weight. He brings a proof from a child's wagon that can be makabel tumas mitzvahs, even though it's only used occasionally to bear the child's weight. So the amputee tailor with wooden shoe full of rags tied his one shoe strap on his son's left arm, which reminds us the Mishnah on Amud Beis states, Abanim yotzim b'ksharim, young boys may go out on Shabbos with knots. The Gemara explains that these knots are the ones that Avin Bar Huna spoke about in the name of Rav Chama Bar Guria. He said that to comfort a son who yearns after a son who's parting from him, the father should take a strap from his own right shoe and tie it around the boy's left arm. The Gemara adds that it would be dangerous and potentially plunge the son into melancholy if the father were to do the opposite and take the strap from his left shoe and tie it around his son's right arm. So the amputee tailor with a wooden shoe full of rags tied his one shoe strap on his son's left arm and told him to recite incantations in his mother's name while he was away. Which reminds us, Abai shares a few rules that his adopted mother taught him about incantations. All incantations are recited with the name of the person's mother. All incantations are clearly stated to be repeated a set number of times, should be repeated according to that number, and any incantation that's not stated about how many times it should be repeated 41 times. So once again, the amputee tailor with a wooden shoe full of rags tied his one shoe strap on his son's left arm and told him to recite incantations in his mother's name while he was away. All right, so now it's time for a four blah back Chazara. Daf Samach Beis. So the symbol for Samach Beis is a submarine captain. So here goes. The submarine captain, that means we're on Daf Samach Beis. The submarine captain demanded that his male and female crew wear tefillin at night and on Shabbos, which reminds us, Rav Yosef explained that the reason Ula forbids women to wear men's accessories in Rishus HaRabim on Shabbos and men to wear women's accessories is that Ula holds Nashim Ambifnei Atmanhen. Women are viewed as a nation unto themselves. Abaye challenges this reasoning from a brisa that permits a woman who finds tefillin in the field or marketplace on Shabbos to wear one pair at a time and bring them in. Now, since women are patur from the mitzvah of tefillin because it's a mitzvah's aseh shezman grum, it's a time-bound positive mitzvah, why is she permitted to put them on? They should be considered a masvi, a burden to her, and she should be liable to bring a chatas. It must be, therefore, that women are permitted to wear men's accessories in Rishus HaRabim. Now, Gemara answers that the brisa is going according to Rabbi Meir, who holds that the mitzvah of tefillin is also a night and is also an obligation on Shabbos, which means it's not a mitzvah's aseh shezman grama, and women are therefore obligated to wear them. So the submarine captain demanded that his male and female crew wear tefillin at night and on Shabbos, and not show the emotions of pleasure and joy, which reminds us, in a discussion regarding what practices were forbidden since the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, Abai clarifies that the Rabban decreed, kol midi de'es be'tanu ve'es be'simcha, anything that involves pleasure and also involves joy. Anything that does not inspire both emotions was not prohibited. And this explains why indulging in balsam oil, which involves pleasure but not joy, was not prohibited. So the submarine captain demanded that his male and female crew wear tefillin at night and on Shabbos and not show the emotions of pleasure and joy after his wife cursed him out for being a cheapskate and he lost a fortune. Which reminds us, Rabbi Avoh said, and some say a Tana taught in a brisa, that the three things that bring a person to poverty are urinating before one's bed, treating the mitzvah of Netilas Yadayim lightly, and being cursed by one's wife in one's presence. Regarding Netilas Yadayim, Rav Chisda said he washed his hands with full handfuls of water and was given full handfuls of prosperity. Rava clarifies that the case of a wife cursing is where she is cursing her husband due to the husband having enough money to buy her jewelry, but he doesn't. Daf Samech Gimel, so the simon for Samech Gimel are segues. So here goes. The Yeshiva Bachim on segues. Segues, that means we're on Daf Samech Gimel. The Yeshiva Bachim on segues were dressed for battle with their weapons, which reminds us, the Mishnah state the Rebbe Eliezer holds that weapons are considered takshitin ornaments and therefore can be worn on Shabbos. The Chachamim disagree and say that weapons are a ganai, they're a disgusting thing, not an ornament, and therefore they may not be worn on Shabbos. Their proof of this is that we find a nevuah that states, "V'yisal goy el goy cherev, v'yimadu al milchama." Nation will not lift sword against nation, and war will not be taught anymore. By the fact that weapons will be destroyed in the times of Mashiach, we see that they're disgusting and not ornaments. In the Gemara, Rebbe Eliezer answered that the weapons are going to be destroyed because at that point they will no longer be needed, not because they're a ganai. So the Yeshiva Barchim in segues were dressed for battle with their weapons, telling their mothers they were practicing for the times of Mashiach, which reminds us, Shmuel holds, Ein bein olam hazeh l'yom haMashiach el shibud goyas bilvad. There is no difference between the world and the days of Mashiach except that there will be no more subjugation of the Jewish people in exile. As it states in the Pasuk, Ki lo yachto al evyom mikar v'aretz, for the poor will not cease from the midst of the land. Weapons will still exist in the times of Mashiach. The prophecy about weapons not existing in the future, as well as all the other nebuahs about the future, was referring to a later period of time, the time of Olam Haba. And the Maharsha understands Olam Haba here to mean during the time of Tchiyas HaMesim, of resurrection of the dead, when there will be a physical type of existence. So the Yeshiva Bar Kimon segues were dressed for battle with their weapons, telling the mothers they were practicing from the times of Mashiach, and they needed their leg garters to hold out their stockings. Which reminds us, the Mishnah says that a beard says Tahora, and one can go out wearing it on Shabbos. The Gemara explains that a beard says a leg garter, a band worn on the calf of the leg to hold up stockings. Rashi explains that the beard says Tahora, meaning it's not susceptible to Tumah, because it does not directly serve the woman. Rather, it's only a kli that is there to serve another kli. Its purpose is to hold up the stockings. She's permitted to wear it on Shabbos, since there's no concern she'll take it off to show a friend, because then her leg will become uncovered. Daf Samach Dalet. So we've done some simon surgery here on Samach Dalet, based on the excellent input of Zichur member Adam Pastor, pointing out secret is hard to kind of get down because it's a concept, and I fully agree, I had a difficult time with this. So he came up with secret agent, which I think is excellent. So Samach Dalet is going to become secret agent to make it a little bit easier. So here goes. The secret agent sackcloth. Secret agent, that means we're on Daf Samach Dalet. The secret agent's sackcloth, made from spun and woven thread from goat's hair, which reminds us, the Gemara brings a braisa which lists articles in a makabel tumah from a dead sheretz. Included in this list is sock, which is made from goat's hair that is spun into coarse thread. The braisa additionally teaches that just as sock, which is mentioned straight out in the Torah, that's makabel tumah from a sheretz, is made from spun and woven thread, so too only items that are made from spun and woven thread are makabel tumah from a sheretz. This would exclude ropes and measuring strings from being makabel tumah, since they're made from goat's hair that has been twisted but not spun. So the secret agent's sackcloth, made from spun and woven thread from goat's hair, was where the atonement gift was kept, which reminds us, the Gemara brings the pasuk in the parsha when the army returns from the battle against Midian, that says, "V'yiksav Moshe al pekudei echal." Moshe was angry with the commanders of the army and seeks to understand what made him angry. Rav Nachman said in the name of Rabbi Bar Avuah that when Moshe saw the commanders offer an atonement gift, he suspected perhaps the soldiers that fought in the campaign had sinned with the women. So the warriors explained to Moshe that even though they did not sin with the Menos Midian, they sought to bring a kapara for the improper thoughts. So the secret agent's sackcloth, made from spun and woven thread from goat's hair, was where the atonement gift was kept, hidden under cloths that got wet on Shabbos, nestled away in the Chadri Chadarim. Which reminds us, Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, "Kol makom she'asur chacham yifnei maris ayin, afil b'chadri chadarim asur," wherever the Rabbanim prohibited an act because they're concerned it gives the appearance of wrongdoing, the act is prohibited even in one's most private chambers. The Gemara explains that this rule is subject to a Machlokas Tanaim brought in a Braisa. According to one opinion, if one's clothes became soaked with rainwater on Shabbos, one may spread them out to dry in a secluded area, but not in an area open to public view, lest people suspect they wash them on Shabbos. So this Tana does not hold the rule of Afil B'Chadri Chadarim. Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon forbid one to do so even in the secluded area, because they do hold of Afil B'Chadri Chadarim. Daf Samache. So the symbol for Samache is Se, sheep. So here it goes. The flock of sheep. Sheep, that means we're on Daf Samache. The flock of sheep with gold teeth and flasks of balsam to cover their smell, which reminds us, Abai identified three Tanaim who held that a person will not come to show an item and inadvertently carry if the item causes one embarrassment. Rebbe permits a woman to go out with a gold tooth, since she will not show it to others out of embarrassment. Rebbe Ezer permits a woman to go out with a kovelas and a b'slochish of polyatone, spice bundles, and a flask of balsam oil, since showing them to others would reveal that she has body odor. And Rav Shimon Elazar permits a woman to go out with anything that's worn beneath her hat, for fear she'll feel shame if her hair is exposed. So the flock of sheep with gold teeth and a flask of balsam to cover their smell like to swim in the flowing waters of the Euphrates and Nisan, which reminds us, one of the three practices Shmuel's father did regarding his daughters was to build mikvahs for them during Nisan, instead of letting them immerse in the Euphrates, because he held the increase coming from the flowing rainwater from Eretz Yisrael would be the majority of water and nullify the river water, since flowing rainwater does not purify. Rainwater only purifies when it's stationary. Shmuel disagreed with this ruling, since he held a river primarily increases from its own springs. Therefore, there is no concern of the majority of the water coming from flowing rainwater. So the flock of sheep with gold teeth and flasks of balsam to cover their smell like to swim in the flowing waters of the Euphrates and Nisan, led by their shepherd, who use nuts as buttons. Which reminds us, Abai asks what the law is regarding whether a woman can do a rama, use a clever loophole, and fasten her cloak with a nut to take it out for her son to play in with an Ashus Rabim on Shabbos, based on a later mission regarding using loopholes to save clothing from a fire. So does the Tanu holds one can use the loophole of wearing many items at once to save clothing from a fire permitted? Or perhaps it's only in the case of a fire that he permits the loophole, because the person will otherwise might come to extinguish the fire? Or does the Tana who holds one cannot use the loophole of wearing many garments in the case of the fire prohibit using the nut in the cloak as well? Or perhaps, since donning many articles of clothing is an acceptable method of transport, he prohibits the loophole so people will not come to carry, but using the nut as a button is unusual and therefore it's permitted. The Gemara leaves it as a teiku. All right, now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from the Sechus Brachas. Here goes number 1. Which stuff do we learn why Shmuel's father built mikvos for his daughters during Nisan? That's on Duff. Samachay. Good. Number 2. Which stuff do we learn the 3 things that cause poverty? That's on Duff. Samach Beis. Great. Number 3. Which stuff do we have the question if Maris Ayin applies afil b'chadri chadarn? That's on Duff. Samach Dod. Good. Number 4. Which stuff do we learn the reason why a woman can't wear a katla and a nate bib? That's on Duff. Nun Zayin. Great. Number 5. Which stuff do we have the question whether a kameya has kedusha? That's on Duff. Samachov. Good. Number 6. Which stuff do we have the question whether a amputee's wooden shoe is makabel tumas midras? That's on Duff. Samachvav. Great. Number 7. Which stuff do we have the question whether weapons are considered a takshitin or a ganai? That's on Duff. Samach Gimel. Good. Number 8. Which stuff do we have various reasons given why a bell without a clapper is still makabel tumah? That's on Duff. Nun Tes. Great. Number 9. Which stuff do we learn various rules for incantations? That's on Duff. Samach Vav. Good. And finally, number 10. Which stuff do we learn that the soldiers brought a kapara for Hihurim? That's on Duff. Samach Dod. Good. Now the 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachas. Which stuff do we learn that one should never give up hope? A few of Cherev Chadam Munachas Zavar Shal Adam. Al Yimna Atzmo Min Arachamim. That's on Duff. Yud. Good. Number 2. Which stuff do we learn that one should daven with Kovod Rosh? That's on Duff. Lamed. Great. And finally, question number 3. Which stuff do we learn about the parrots Genesar that they're so sweet they had to be salted and therefore bread eaten with them would be tafel to them? That's on Duff. Mem Dod. Great. That concludes our pop quiz plus the 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachas. This is Rabbi Avram Goldar wishing you a great day and great learning.